So we're going to look at two of the gifts of the Spirit today, but just kind of going in order and following the scripture. From 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9 is where we left off. The gift of faith and gifts of healings. But our reading is going to be an example of both of those from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And I'll begin here. Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour.
And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple.
Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms.
And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, "Look at us."
So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them.
Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk."
And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength.
So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God.
Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray you would guide us into all truth. Point us to Jesus, as you, Jesus, are pointing us to the Father. And we just love you, our God, our triune God, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. And we look forward to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here we are. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit. Last week we looked at the two gifts mentioned in verse 8 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, which was the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And now we're going to look at two gifts here mentioned in verse 9. Paul writes, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. So I sorely want to read on further, and I wish we had by now. I would really encourage you to read ahead and read as you're led, if you're able to. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14. Read Romans 12. I could peek really quickly and tell you. The whole chapter is fine. Romans 12 is wonderful. But specifically, if you look at verses, Romans 12, verse 3 through verse 8, that passage mentions some of the same gifts here. But today we're just focusing on two gifts. And like it says here in our passage, the gift of faith and gifts of healing. So let's start with faith. So it says there in the passage, literally, he says to, you know, I guess to get a little bit of a head start, verse 8, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. So the question is, well, what does that mean? And we understand from the scripture that there is saving faith, and there are other types of faith, if you will. And it's here on your sheet, number one, the gift of faith is something beyond saving faith. It is a special measure of faith that the Lord gives someone to do something extraordinary. Extraordinary. I like that word because it seems so hard to spell, but it's just extra and ordinary. But it's not pronounced extraordinary, it's pronounced extraordinary. And you're saying, why are you telling us this? It has nothing to do with the message, but I was wondering myself, so I'm so glad when you look it up, it has a little speaker thing. You can click it. Extraordinary. You know, you come, you get the voice that says what. So, but that's what we just read about, right? That was what Peter had there, the gift of faith. He also, no doubt, had the word of knowledge. The Lord moved in his heart to know that it was time to heal this man that was born unable to walk. And I think for over 30 years, 38 years or something like it says it later in Acts. And the one verse we didn't read there in Acts 3, because it's further down the road, just to pick up from where we read, the man's walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people realize that's the guy that sat lame in front of at the gate beautiful for all these years. And so they're like, whoa. And they're just marveled. And then Peter wisely says, don't look at us like we did anything fancy or miraculous. This wasn't us. And then he says, get back to Acts 3. He goes on to preach the gospel to them, to tell the people that you asked for a murderer instead of Jesus, and Jesus was murdered. And then he goes on to say, it's verse 16, Acts 3:16. And it is on your sheet there, where it says Acts 3:1-8, 16, God heals a man through Peter. But listen to what Peter says here. It's very interesting. In verse 16, thank you. And in his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Now, this is it. The faith which comes through him has given this man, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith that came through Jesus, from Jesus. Jesus healed people. He had all faith. You know, again, he walked as a man. He relied on the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38 tells us, to do what he did. And now that he's, again, has ascended and poured out his Spirit, by his Spirit, he moves on Peter to have the faith to take this guy by the arms and pull him up. And you don't want to do that to someone if you don't haven't been given the gift of faith, someone who can't walk, you know, who's lame or crippled. You don't want to try that. So that is the gift of faith. It's beautiful. I'm not going to obviously just take the time to go through every example, but I've put verses and examples that show that. I guess I never finished our word after our phrase out the worksheet where it says extraordinary, and then the rest of the sentence that I wrote is, it the gift of faith is often but not always connected to healing in the scripture. So Mark 2, the paralytic, right? The people come. And there's a big crowd in the house. They got a friend that's paralyzed, and they want Jesus to heal him and to touch him. And they have so much faith and determination. You know what happens, right? They climb up on the roof and tear open a hole in the roof and lower the guy down. And it says there, when Jesus saw their faith, and it's interesting to me, he had four friends, this paralytic man, but he says, when he saw their faith, he said to the guy, son, your sins are forgiven. So he had faith too, or Jesus wouldn't have said that to him. And so that was the gift of faith. And then Matthew 8, the centurion, you know that one. And this, you know, the paralytic, they need Jesus to come and touch this guy get him right up to Jesus. But the centurion there in Matthew 8, he blows Jesus away himself with his faith, right? Because Jesus says, I'll go and heal your servant. And you know the story. The centurion says, I'm a man under authority. I'm told what to do, and I tell my soldiers what to do, and they do it. So you, in the same way, you just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus was amazed at this man's faith. That's the gift of faith. Matthew 14, Peter walks on water. That's an example that isn't connected to healing. But, you know, he walks on the water. He says, Jesus, if it's you, call me out there. And he does, and Peter is walking on water. And then he looks at the waves, and he starts to sink. Calls out to the Lord, and Jesus saves him and says, oh, you have little faith. Well, he was little faith. The other 11 guys had no faith, right? So he had the faith. That takes faith, right? You've heard the story. I think maybe the guy, you know, apparently it's a true story. A guy in Niagara Falls had a tightrope and would walk across the tightrope on Niagara. Is that a true story? Have you heard of it, first of all? Anybody heard of it? Please. Is it true? I don't know. But he'd walk up and down this tightrope, and then he'd say to the crowd, how many of you believe I could do this with a wheelbarrow? You know, and he does it, you know, or no, before he does it, he's, you know, everyone raises their hand. How many of you want to get in the wheelbarrow? All the hands drop. You know, that's the gift of faith, the person that will get into that wheelbarrow. And that's Peter, right? I mean, we read about it. We know how it ends. But walking on water, that's not frozen Iowa Lake, or, you know, hard enough to walk on frozen. No. So that's the gift of faith. And I'm sorry, I said I wouldn't go through all these. They're so entertaining. The one you can look at Acts 3. No, I think I have my verses in my parentheses turned around on that one where it says God heals a man through Peter. Acts 14. That is not correct. Sorry, I just left the scripture out there. It's Acts chapter 9. You can look it up. Check me out on that. The guy's name Aeneas. And he's been crippled and bedridden for 8 years. And Peter just says to him, Aeneas, rise and make your bed. There you go, moms. There's a passage that says, make your bed, you know. And he does, and he rises. And people are blown away and they believe. Which again is Paul's point, is if I finally can get some momentum, get further into 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts are for the edifying of the body and for the unity of the body. It's not for me to get on TV and make a bunch of money, right? And that's what we see in the scripture. And then God heals a man through Paul. The interesting thing with that one, we won't turn there, but Acts 14, 8 and 10, because in Acts 3, Peter's given like the word of knowledge and he has the gift of faith. And Acts 14, there, that passage, Paul is preaching and he sees a guy who's lame in his feet. And the scripture says that Paul sees that the guy has faith to be healed. And he just says in a loud voice, rise up, and the guy does. So that's the gift of faith in action. And the contrary of that is the man, when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, he comes down and a man brings his son, we were just talking about this before service, appears to have epilepsy. That's what we would say clinically. He falls out and shakes and foams at the mouth and, but it's a demon. It's not a medical condition in this case. And the man brings him to Jesus and said, I brought him to your disciples, the one that were still down here, you know, not on the mount, to cast him out, but they couldn't. And Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, how long, you know, must I be with you? How long must I bear with you? We're going to really talk today about the balance of having faith. It does take faith. Faith pleases God. But this kind of thing has to be his gift to us. But by faith, we have to be in tune to it, I guess. So in that case, Jesus said, you know, bring your son to me, and he cast the demon out. And then one of the Gospels, I think it's the reference I gave you, Matthew 17, they ask him, why couldn't we cast it out? And he says, because of your unbelief. You know, they didn't have the faith. But we're also going to talk about how we're going to refute the nonsense that if you're not healed, you don't have enough faith. That's where people go too far, you know, on the pendulum. So it's just that balance. And that's what I love about this. We have our Bibles, you know, and we have experiences, yes, but we have to beware. Be aware, right? There's another contraction type word, huh? Be aware, beware. Because Paul says that in the last days, that, you know, when the Antichrist comes, he'll be using lying signs and wonders. The Antichrist will appear to be, he'll have a head wound and appear to be dead. Maybe, who knows? And then he raises from the dead. It's some kind of false miracle. And many follow after him because they're just following signs and they don't know, they're not grounded in the truth. So I hope that makes sense. But faith is a wonderful gift. I can only think of one time that I think I exercised it. I'll be honest with you. This is 1983. I'm 19 years old, a young Christian. My mom got saved a year after me. My dad, I later found out, got saved as a teenager, but we didn't grow up in church. I grew up in a wonderful home, but we didn't go to church. I was 15. I got awakened and saved through a hellfire message on TV. Most of you know that. And but it's 1983. It's a Saturday night. And I was praying, and I don't know where I heard it. I don't know if it was TV. I'm not a TV church guy. Beware of TV church, you know. But I heard about, you know, about claiming, people claim things. And again, sadly, people do that selfishly. But I'm just a baby Christian still. And that night, and the point is, my parents weren't going to the church I was going to. They weren't really going to church. Or maybe my mom was, I don't remember. My dad wasn't. So that night, I just felt led to pray, and I claimed, Lord, I claim that my dad will be in church tomorrow. And I went to church early because I was in the choir. We had a choir. I was about to go to Army training, but I was in the choir for a few weeks. And we're in the back room getting ready. And this is a big church. And we walk out for choir and I look out in the crowd and who's out there sitting in churches, but my dad. And so I was just like, praise the Lord. But then as I grew in the knowledge of the Lord, it's not about claiming, because I claimed lots of stuff after that didn't come to pass. You understand, right? It's not about name it and claim it and all for me, but I believe that was just God. See, prayer starts in the heart of God. Faith starts with God. He wants to move, and he moves on someone's heart. He moves on Sarah's heart to say, Lord, I'm tired of this bitterness that I'm in. I'm barren. I can't have a child. This, my husband's other wife, which is a problem in itself, is just really mocking me and making fun of me. And so she just, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And so here's a woman that's constrained because she doesn't have a son, doesn't realize, you know, she needs a son. God needed a prophet, right? And so he waited to bring her to that point to where she'd cry out by faith. And she had faith. Look up the story yourself in 1 Samuel 1. Because the priest Eli says to her, she tells her what she's, remember, she's the one so constrained that she's, so it's not really tongues, but it's not really prayer because she's just moving her mouth and nothing's coming out. He even thought she was drunk, you know? And Eli, the priest, and she tells him her plight and she's crying out to the Lord. And he says, may the Lord grant your request. And here's her faith. She cleaned herself up and went and finally ate at the feast. She would never partake of the, she would always bummed out, wouldn't eat with the family, but she by faith did that. The next verse says, you know, then the Lord opened her womb. Isn't that beautiful? That's faith from the Old Testament. So that's the gift of faith. And now the gifts of healings. This is another interesting one because it doesn't say the gift of healing. And like we talked about before, I keep flipping from Acts to 1 Corinthians. It says, I have to remind you of this in Acts 12, sorry, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and verse 8. It talks about the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given, for to one is given. And the Greek, the way that is plays out, so to speak, is gifts that are being given to us. They're being given. It's not like one gift that I have and I always possess it. We even talked about that. Even the gift of teaching, it doesn't always flow. And you can shout out amen if you'd like, you know, but that God, he is sovereign about his gifts and he gives them the time that he wants, when he wants. Some people seem to, hopefully if you're a Bible teacher, you have the gift of teaching more times than not. I say, like, my wife has an exhortation gift, like an evangelism gift. She hasn't led thousands to the Lord yet, but she does have she'll start a Bible study for kids and one mom and two kids. And next thing you know, there's like 11, 15, 14 coming. And so that just seems to be one of her gifts. But healing, gifts of healing, that's the idea that, and this can mean a lot of different things. It can show up in different ways. So this, looking at our sheet here, the gifts of healings is when the Lord heals someone through, just the word through, the prayers or actions of another person or persons. And the examples there, Acts 28, Paul, remember the end of Acts, there's a chapter 27, there's a horrible storm, and then they get shipwrecked on the island of Malta in Acts chapter 8. In fact, in that's where Paul, you know, they're picking up sticks, and he goes to throw a pile of sticks in the fire, and there was a serpent in that pile he was carrying, and just jumped out and bit his hand. It was a deadly serpent, and they thought he would die, and the Lord didn't let him die. But that's not the reference I gave you. The reference I gave you, Acts 28:8-9, is that they meet this guy, Publius, this guy that's well known and well respected in on that island, and his father has a fever and dysentery, not a demon. He has a physical a disease, and it says that Paul prays and lays his hand on that man, and he's healed. And then you got to look it up. Verse 9, it says, and the rest of the people on the island that had diseases, is it up there? They came and they're all healed. So, and that's amazing. That's gifts of healings. And the other thing too, we'll get to it more when we get to the gift of miracles, which is coming up in our passage. In fact, it's the next one. We'll Lord willing, get to it next week. You have to remember context too. Miracles and signs and wonders were the mark of an apostle. It says there more than one place in the scripture. It was a sign of an apostle. Doesn't mean one of us couldn't do that, because God does these things. He does these things, right? And so, that's Acts 28. And then Acts 9, that's where it was. I thought I had it in the above part of your worksheet, number one, but that's where he heals the paralyzed man for 8 years. That's Aeneas. Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Now get up and make your bed, you know? So you got to love that. So that's God working through a person, right? He works through prayer. James 5:15, the prayer of faith will raise the person up. That's where we're told to pray if we're sick, to pray, or get the elders to anoint with oil and pray. Just read through that. There's like different ways to be healed, but it doesn't always happen. But it says the prayer of faith will raise a person up. And so I believe that's the gift of faith, where God intends to do something, like he intended to give. I said Sarah. Did I get it? Was Hannah in 1 Samuel? I said, I knew I didn't feel right. You can shout out if you want. Heresy. Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, it was, God knew he was going to give her a son. And by the way, after Samuel, she was popping him out. She had several other kids, you know. He knows what he wants to do, and he puts it on our heart. Do you understand? You see that? It's him doing. It's a gift. Like when I was just that 19-year-old, I just felt led to claim that my dad would be in church the next morning, and there he was. And eventually my dad did regularly come to church. And praise the Lord, my parents are strong Christians to this day. Not because of me or some claiming, right? It's because of God and his mercy. I still have family members in my FOO. That's a FOO. That's a counselor's way of saying family of origin. So people in my family of origin that aren't saved, people in the family that we raised that aren't walking tight with the Lord at best. And then friends and neighbors, and as all of you do, we just keep praying. We keep persisting. We keep waiting for the Lord to move. And he will move just like he did on Uncle Gerald. I always say, remember the Alamo and remember Uncle Gerald. That's Cindy's. For those of you who don't know, that's Cindy's uncle, who went to church for years not believing and accepted the Lord about, what, 7 hours before he died or something like that? Yeah, less than 24 hours before he died. Genuinely came to the Lord, singing praises and on his deathbed. So the gift of faith, the gifts of healings, they do kind of go together a lot, but it's like I said, it's not always healing. There's other things that God can do, like the walking on water and things like that. And then Mark 16, we'll probably look at that more next week when we talk about miracles. But Jesus, that's the end of the book of Mark, where Jesus says these signs will follow those who believe. And one of the things he says is they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But that takes us right to number 3 on our sheet. And Paul says at the end of our chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he says, do all have gifts of healings? The words all, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Because you can peek at that passage if you have your Bible open or even on your app. It's verse 29. Verse 28, he lists some other gifts. In verse 29, he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the obvious answer is no. Because again, before that, which we'll get to eventually, or you can read ahead, we're a body made of different parts. And he gets so ridiculous, if you will, he says, if we were all an eye, where would the body be? Or all an ear, you know? There was an old movie that this guy, anyway, stupid movie. He's one of those satire type movies, but the guy was in so bad of an accident, the only thing that survived was his nose. It was like this nose on life support. So I think of that when I think of that image that Paul is painting, you know, and that's why he gifts us differently. And just because I may not have the gift of evangelism, the Lord can still use me to lead someone to lead someone to him as well as you, right? Paul even says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist or whatever. You know, there is a gift of helps. We'll get to that eventually. And obviously the Lord would like all of us to help out, you know? So I hope that makes sense. And then just giving the balance, really the last two items on our sheet, numbers 4 and 5, are the two sides of the balance. Number 4 is going to show that the Lord, right? You know the Hebrews verse that without faith it's impossible to please God. It's good to have faith, right? And to even press the envelope with faith. And again, I say that in quotes, I guess. So that's what number 4 is going to say. And then number 5 is going to say, but we don't get wacky about it and say that everyone should be healed or they don't have faith. So number 4, quoting that same passage where Jesus heals, delivers the boy from the demon, the father that brought him as he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He says in part of this verse, Matthew 17:20, surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, this is in that Living Waters book that Pastor Chuck wrote. And I love this because, you know, Jesus will say other places, ask in my name, you will receive. Whatever you ask, you will receive. So people, they skew that. And they either challenge that the Bible isn't true or they weaponize that to fleece the flock. But this is what we can rest on. Who was Jesus saying this to? He was saying this to his disciples. What constitutes a disciple? If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So this isn't about, again, claiming things or believing for anything you want to feed my flesh. That's what 1 Timothy 6 is all about, the second part of it, where he says these phony balonies, they want to use godliness for a means for gain. That's where you'll see the love of money is the root of all evil passage. Because Paul says godliness with contentment is great gain, right? Because we, and like Job, he says, because we came in with nothing and we'll go out with nothing. Paul says that, 1 Timothy 6. So contentment, it's not, you guys, you all know this. It took me 59 and a half years practically to figure this out, but it's not how much you have that has anything to do with happiness. It's how content you are with what you have. It's contentment, right? And thankfulness. And I'm still growing in that. But it's what you're set free. It's what Paul said, or Peter says. No, James, I'll get it right. It's what Paul and Peter said in James chapter 1. It's what James said in James 1. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, mature, and complete, lacking in nothing. You want to be the richest person in the world, just rejoice in your trials and let patience grow. You'll lack nothing. It's the patient person that isn't the type A person in the drive-thru or at the stoplight, which we all can be, right? You know, anyway, so, but all that to say that Jesus is blessed by faith. Draw near to him and let him work in your heart, faith. And, you know, and again, maybe some people are more gifted with the gift of faith and the gifts of healings, but it's never something for themselves, to fleece the flock, to monopolize on. So nothing will be impossible for you as we walk in his will. It's like he says in Psalm 37, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will work in you, and he'll give you his desires, and you'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. Finally, the balance to the faith, so we don't go overboard. God does not miraculously heal everybody, right? And it is often not because of a lack of faith. So the word there is lack, right? And you have scriptural examples right there. You can look them up yourself. Paul says to the Galatians, it was for infirmity's sake that I came and preached to you. And I testify that you would have given me your own eye. You would have plucked out your own eyes for me. So Paul had a problem with his eyes. 1 Corinthians 12, the thorn in his flesh. He asked the Lord three times to take it away. The Lord didn't take it away, right? 1 Timothy 5:23, I just trying to be cute here. I put Timmy's tummy in parentheses. Timmy's tummy. Paul said, don't, you know, no longer just drink water, but take a little wine for your stomach and for, you know, and no doubt Paul had prayed for him, right? And then Philippians 2, Epaphroditus. He's a guy from Philippi. In context, you could tell he's a guy that delivered, probably delivered the letter or went and delivered the, they gave a care package, if you will, to Paul. He delivered that to Paul and brought back the letter probably. And read that in Philippians 2. Paul says Epaphroditus was on the edge of death and he almost died. And I tell you, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow if he had died. This is Philippians, the book about joy. And Paul the apostle says, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. It's just to remind me and you that these people in the Bible, they are the Anthony Klingers and they are the Howard Moores and the John Hills. They're just, Moses, Paul, David, they're just people like us. Elijah, it says that in James. He was a man of like passions as us. And yet God uses them. But anyway, Epaphroditus didn't die. But as you read it, you can tell the Lord had mercy, Paul said. The Lord had mercy on me. And Epaphroditus was more, he was afraid to die because he's afraid of how bummed out the Philippians would be, what he meant to them. So it seems clear if you read that, the Lord just healed him supernaturally through natural healing. He didn't die, which is that, always remember that. God does heal. You get a cut. It's pretty miraculous that the skin closes up and usually there's not even a scar. That's interesting. Another classic one, 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul's saying, greet this person, greet that one. And this guy's here and that guy's there. And he says, Trophimus, I realize it got cut off. Sorry. I am so sorry. But he says, Trophimus, I left in Miletus sick. Paul left a guy behind sick. Wait a minute, you're Paul the apostle. Why didn't you heal him? See the point? But you're not going to get these verses on the guys that are just wanting to fleece the flock on their thing. And I was my new computer has a WordPad. This is my excuse. And WordPad doesn't let you know. I thought I had it. I thought I had the whole thing on there. But the other only thing I was going to say is there were another examples in Hebrews 11. Read the last part of Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. And these are people that were like, they were tortured. They were beaten. They were sawn in two. And these are people of faith. And then 1 Peter 4, I think it's the last verse of 1 Peter 4. He talks about if you suffer according to the will of God, what? You don't see that? You don't hear from that from the extremists. If you suffer according to the will of God. And finally, we'll close. Hezekiah. Hezekiah is the opposite of this. Hezekiah, a very godly king, one of the godliest kings that Judah ever had and had great faith. But he was told he's going to die and he wasn't ready to die. He didn't want to die. He squawked and he cried. He pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord mercifully gave him 15 more years. But that really wasn't the perfect, probably not the perfect, well, God causes everything to work together. But in those 15 years, Manasseh was born. And also, because his life extended, the Babylonians who were just a podunk town at that time, came and visited Hezekiah. And he showed them all the storehouse. So then when Babylon was big and they conquered Judah, they took all that stuff. And that's what Belshazzar is partying with in the handwriting on the wall passage in Daniel. So it's good to want to go to heaven, you know? And I say that because I won't know until I get a diagnosis like that, how I'll be. So Lord, thank you for your love and for your kindness to us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit and the gifts that you give us by your Spirit to build up your church. In Jesus' name, amen.